This is how our podcast starts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Maximize the Wilderness. I am David Andrews, and as always, my co-host, the Right Reverend Dr. Potentate Bishop Mario Hatchett, is here.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, nah, he gangster. And a gangster bone in his body. But we are here once again with another episode of Maximize the Wilderness. If this is your first time joining us, welcome.
Welcome.
This is your second time joining us, or third, fourth, fifth, or how many episodes it is. Welcome back. Today's title is Maximize Your Team. Very good title, I believe. It's something I struggle with because, as you know, Bishop, I am a very independent person.
Yeah.
I'm of the mindset, if I don't do it, it just ain't gonna get done. And with that being said, I have a hard time delegating and letting go and letting other people function in their God-given abilities, because I can be so anal about how I want things done. But I'm learning in my my ailment that it's important to have the right people around you in certain situations. Teamwork make the dream work, they say. You agree with that, yes or no?
I agree with it. I definitely agree with it.
But it's also, when having your team around you, it's all about having the right people around you. Because if you have the wrong people around you, they will wreak havoc and all types of hell in your life. Is hell a cuss word?
It's in the Bible.
Did I use it in the right context, though?
Yeah.
Okay, they will wreak all types of hell in your life. For example, I am currently really mad about something that happened in my church. I realized, like, we had some people in place, and as good as they made themselves sound, you come to find out they didn't live up to their own hype. And because of that, you know, some things had to be changed, some things need to be fixed. And this could have been avoided if, you know, you just did just a little bit better vetting. You know, let people show themselves to you before you make them officially part of the team. And I got to go back and fix a lot of things that were broken because you had the wrong people on the team. What you think, Doc? You might have quiet, you know?
Just no, ramble on? I'm just, first of all, don't ever say ramble on. That's an inside joke between David and I, but literally, I agree with you there. Everybody who wants to be a part of the team can't be a part of the team.
This is true.
And I think, and this goes for in the secular world as well as the church world, some people just aren't fit for the team. And I'll use for an example, you know, me, you, and our spouses, we make a good team.
We make
a good, interesting team. They're more interesting than we are.
Wait. We make a good team to a certain point. Now, we understand and recognize where we can't work together because we never get anything accomplished.
Like almost today with this podcast. So literally, we, you know, we've had other people try to come in to the team that we have, mm-hmm. you know, and it just didn't work.
It just don't
fit. We saw different signs. We
if
watched
don't
them.
Don't fit. You must have quit.
You know, I almost ran with that, but the Lord said no, so I didn't. Cause I got a couple things in my head.
Just say
so it. No, I will not say it. No, but. You know, we watched those people who wanted to come in and be a part of our team. We watched them for a little bit. And then we finally realized, you know, David and I looked at each other one day and we was like,
heck
nah, Everybody can't be a part of your team.
Everybody can't go. But to get back to the maximize the wilderness part of this, as you said, we focus on the wilderness aspect, the children of Israel being in the wilderness. Moses started off as a team of one. It was him. Well, never mind. He had Aaron for a little bit. Him and Aaron led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And for a while, it was just him and Aaron leading the people. Moses went up to the mountaintop to get the Ten Commandments from God and left Aaron in charge. And Aaron allowed the people to misguide and lead him into doing something he knew was against God. Moses come down from the mountain to see Aaron acting a fool. In his mind, I believe, like he was looking at Aaron like, dude, you were part of the team. And how did you let the people persuade you on the direction? And it got to a point, just skip along. Moses became overwhelmed with his task. It became too much for him to coach that amount of people. And God told him to go and take 70 men, full of the Holy Ghost, I believe. Am I right? Full of the Holy Ghost, so that he can get some help. And in that selection process, Moses had to make sure he was picking the right ones who, one, had his heart, had his vision, knew the direction that God had gave him to lead these people to the promised land. And I said all that to say is, when you are putting your team together, you got to make sure you have to have people on your team that, one, have your heart.
That's true. If they don't have your heart, can they really be all out for your team? You know, I really don't think so. I mean, and it goes for the church world. You know, in the event that you have someone on your team who doesn't fully support your ministry, then your ministry's lacking because you've got somebody who doesn't want to be there or doesn't want to work to help build and to help grow whatever area or capacity that they're working in.
And when we say ministry, you know, you can juxtapose that with business, friendship, any kind like that. We just say ministry because we church folk. But yeah, they got to have your heart, and two, they got to know your vision.
Yeah.
They got to know where you are trying to go, and if you are not trying to go the same way I go, you have no business being on my team. I love the NBA. My favorite team is the Boston Celtics. But last year, brother Kyrie, in his greatness, he was not a good fit for the team. Because one, I love brother Kyrie. I hope I get to meet him one day. He was all about himself. He was not a good team player. And when he left, the team actually started flourishing and is doing better than they were when he was there. Just an example of what can happen when you have somebody who's talented on your team, but does not fit the assignment of the team.
Boy, I almost went somewhere with that, but I promise I won't gonna do that. So, I mean, let's keep it with the sports analogies. That's the same thing. I was glad when Romo left the Cowboys.
I'm glad for anything with the Cowboys.
Watch it now. You know, I need you to be a good team player for this podcast.
Okay.
So my issue, though, is we have to be able to justify talent versus need versus effectiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you have the talent, or just because you have the need, and somebody shows up that's talented, does not mean that they're going to be effective in that position.
Mm-hmm.
That is why, like, okay, let's take it from the church standpoint. I teach this to my church. Just because we're a smaller ministry, you know, we only got 600 people. No, I'm just kidding.
I speak it into existence, declare and decree.
Hallelujah. Come on, prophet. So, you know, we are a smaller ministry, and that means that there are some positions that are left open. Instead of filling those positions with people who are not qualified or not anointed or not, you know, going to be effective in that position, I don't fill it. Because you could do more damage
putting somebody in that position.
There's a movie, and I'm going to take a page from your book. I'm going to quote a movie. There is a movie, a BET film.
I don't watch BET.
Well, neither do I really, but I caught this good movie because it had somebody in it that I thought was really cute
BET
back in the day.
BET owned by black folk, but go ahead.
So this was back then before it changed hands and all that stuff. But the movie was called Seat Filler. And it talked about how at the award shows and whatnot, they would pay people to fill the seat. So when the camera panned the audience, it didn't look like it was an empty crowd.
Mm-hmm.
They would dress the part.
Mm-hmm.
But when the real celebrity showed up, they would get up so that the celebrity could fill that seat. In church or business,
or
sometimes,
relationships.
Or relationships. Come on now, that's a whole nother story there. We have a tendency of using seat fillers, which are nothing but impersonators.
Imposters.
They're you know, somebody who are there people who are there just to fill a seat, but that is not their position. Mm-hmm. We lose time, money, focus, energy, and all of the above when we keep filling seats with people who ain't meant to be there.
Stressing about people who ain't meant to be there.
Ah, why are you stressing over a seat filler?
A temporary position. And we got to understand.
Come on.
And realize
work,
that
Reverend.
Everybody that comes in might not be there permanently. You got to recognize those who are on the team permanently and those who are just there for a season. Because everybody that comes in your life, they can serve a purpose, but that'll mean they need to stay there permanently. But we have a hard time letting the wrong people go.
Ah. And we let the right people.
And let the, did I say that right? No, we keep the wrong. I know what you meant. We keep the wrong people, but let the right people walk on out the door.
All right, so let me tell you.
Speak to it, Pastor.
Yesterday, we have a group text.
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this here yesterday. Oh, my. We
about to say that.
What?
Oh, good. I'm sorry.
We have a group text at our church.
Oh, church. That's
at okay. Church. Not our group text, you know. Okay. That's a whole other group text, you know. But we have a group text at our church, and there are numbers that come in that send text messages that aren't attached to anybody's name in my phone. And I have to go to my wife and say, well, who texts this? Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, who was it? And she constantly tells me, you need to save these people's number. And I tell her no, because people come and go. Mm-hmm. And until you've proven yourself, I won't save your number.
Wow.
My sister has been my sister for 26 years almost. And I just saved her number 2 weeks ago.
I got family members' numbers I just saved.
Yeah. You know? And my thing is, you know, I saved her number because she proved that here lately she hasn't been acting crazy.
This is true.
You know, so because she's on the team and she's an active part of the team now, and she's functioning as the team, I believe that I could save her number because now she's proven herself to be a good team player.
So let me ask you, so what qualifies somebody? What makes somebody a good team player?
It varies. It really varies. Because everybody's definition of what they need as a team is different.
But I believe there's some key, you know, some key aspects to...
And it is.
I'm going to give you one right now.
Go ahead.
If you're going to be on a team and maximize your team...
Watch it now.
The first thing you got to understand is you got to play your position.
Well, Reverend, hold on now. I got a question. I'm raising my hand, y'all. I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, how do I know my position when all these titles are just being thrown at me?
How do you know your position? Well, with every great team, there's a coach.
But I want to be the coach and play on the field.
Sound like you want too much.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Can you be the coach and play on the field?
Legally, I think it's against the rules.
It's against the rules. So we're going with like the sports team analogy. So you got a coach, you got the owner and all this stuff, but then you got the positions, the players on the field. Let's go like this. You are the coach. No. You are the quarterback of your life.
Mm.
You are the quarterback of your life. God is the coach. You are the quarterback in your life. God sends in the plays. It is your job to get the ball to the people around you.
Okay.
You got to have people who block for you. You got the people who are able to catch what you are throwing.
Oh, to I know a whole lot of block. Jesus.
You got to have the right people surrounding you so that you are the quarterback of your life. And you can't have the wide receiver trying to be the quarterback. You can't have the defensive lineman trying to be the quarterback. You can't have the center trying to be the quarterback. There's only one quarterback in your life. And when you're building your team, people have to understand and know their position in your life. And you always get into trouble when people step out of position.
Boy, if I
Number two tries to become number one, there's always problems.
Ah, but sometimes number one need to be replaced.
That's between you and God.
Between
you and God. But no, let's go here. Listen, okay, let's not be spiritual about this thing for a minute.
Okay.
Think I should do this?
I say let's do it.
Okay, so just an analogy. In this world we live in,
mm-hmm.
of loving hip hop and all that stuff. Y'all see, y'all watch TV. You got these superstars who have a number one, but they also tend to have a number two. And the problem usually comes in when number two feels like they deserve to be number one, forgetting that they're number two for a reason. Mm-hmm. And you will always have conflict when number two tries to overstep their boundaries and become number one. Because number one would then raise up and say, hold on, you number two for a reason.
Why are you tuning up like you all said?
I felt that thing. I can't stand when number two thinks they deserve number one responsibility and privileges. If you are going to be an effective member of the team, I'm not endorsing nor condoning this, but if you're going to be an effective member of the team, play your position.
I think that the issue is that when we are creating a team, we don't really go over the individual roles of the people on the team. We just put people on the team and don't enlighten them on what they can and cannot do. Now, it could be a read the playbook type instruction. But if your team doesn't play by the playbook anyway, let's
the water boy ain't got no business out there trying to be quarterback. I don't need to explain your position to you. You is the water boy. You serve water in the Gatorade cups. Serve the water. Don't call plays.
So what about this associate minister trying to be the pastor?
That's the...
Or the member trying to be a pastor.
Why does the member or the associate minister feel like they have that right and authority to step into that position?
Because they're crazy.
No, well, that too. But because leadership has not checked them and put them in their position. Mm.
But what happens when leadership ain't playing their position? What happens to the team then?
That's when the team go off the rail. If you ain't in your place, don't expect other people around you to be in their place.
I agree with you.
I witnessed a alleged leader publicly rebuke his entire congregation over Facebook Live. Now, I'm an outsider looking in. And while he's rebuking his entire congregation, my only thought was, well, leader, it sounds like you haven't trained your people properly.
Now, okay.
You haven't assigned. It sounds like they don't know their responsibility and roles. So it is the leader's responsibility to assign those roles and let them know what their position is.
I think where the issue also comes in at is that right now we have a lot of
number two should be number one. I'm sorry. No.
Yeah.
No.
Social media is very prevalent. And there's always going to be a camera rolling some type of way. Mm-hmm. But we also have to be careful because a good leader always takes his team in a huddle mm-hmm. before he openly discusses what's going on team. Mm-hmm. Some things are only meant to be in the hustle. In the huddle and not publicly. Exactly. Because you let your opponent know what's going on and they can use it at their benefit when you do things openly. And that takes wisdom and discernment to know what you say on social media, especially Facebook Live, and what you don't. Now, you asked a question earlier that really got me just now, and that is, what are the characteristics of a good leader? Of a good team? And one of that is this, going back to your initial thing about Moses, when Moses' arms got tired, mm-hmm. there was an Aaron and a Hur to lift his arms up. The team is there to make sure not only that we function together, but that when our leader is tired, we lift them up.
And I noticed in that text, Moses didn't call for Aaron or Hur.
No.
They saw what was needed mm-hmm. and jumped right in. They saw Moses was getting tired. The Bible declares that they went and got a rock for him to sit on. I don't have time to really get into the fact of how that rock was Jesus. I don't have time to really get into the fact that Joshua, which is another name for Jesus, was down there.
Wait, if you tune up one more time.
But no. Aaron and Hur, they saw what was needed from their leader.
To pull out hoop triggers.
For their leader, and they immediately jumped into action. They didn't wait for the leader to say this needed done. They immediately jumped into action. So, in essence, what it's saying is you need some people around you who can see what needs to be done.
And do it.
Without you even saying anything.
And I agree. But I also think that a good leader should know how to rebuke their team. Mm-hmm. You can't be a leader and all you do is rebuke.
It just presents too much dysfunction.
And I agree. There's a term in the secular world called R&R.
Rest and relaxation?
Yeah. Oh. But there's an R&R in the leadership world also. Is rebuke and rebuild. And
rebuke and restore.
That'll work too. Okay. Rebuke and revitalize. Mm-hmm. Rebuke and rejuvenate. Whatever you're doing. You can't just tear the people down
all the time
and not build them back up. And that's why we have a lot of leaders who don't have effective teams, because they are, in the church world, they're nothing but fire and brimstone. Mm-hmm. There's no love and grace and mercy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And at the same token, being part of a team, you want to limit dysfunction. And at the same token, you got to look in the mirror in yourself and ask, am I the problem? Mm. Am I the problem? If I'm always the one causing the issue, if every time I come to the family meeting, the church meeting, and I'm always the one throwing out random questions, I don't never get along with anybody. I always got to rebuke or rebuttal.
Why are you talking about yourself?
I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, I don't do that. But if I'm always the one causing problems, I just can't get along with nothing the leader is saying. I got to fight everything on every hand. The team ain't the problem. You could be the problem. Mm. So you got to look in the mirror myself. When you're maximizing your team, you got to first look at myself. Is there something wrong with me? Am I doing something wrong? And the best way to maximize your team is to make sure you're right. Before you expect anything else from the people around you, make sure you're on your P's and Q's. You've crossed every I and dotted every T. I said it that way. Yeah, I'm wrong. But you got what I'm saying. Before we expect anything from anybody else, I got to be right.
And I agree with that. I mean, there's no debate there. And that's only because you're right. A good leader has to make sure that they are equipped enough to lead.
And let people know their position in your life. Don't let people... I have one wife. One wife who knows that she is my wife. I don't care how many sisters I got. I don't care how many mothers that claim me and nothing like that. I got one wife. And that's the only woman, at the end of the day, I'm going to listen to. Ain't nobody else playing that role.
Now I would accept
support.
Yeah,
from other people. But please understand, there's only one first lady in my relationship.
Now, here's the other thing with that. A good leader. Well, a good team. Don't cheat on each other.
This is true.
You know, I don't want to be a part of your team and then see you running down the street with another team.
You mean when you was on Snapchat the other day?
Yes.
And saw me and my family at Sky Zone?
See, I wasn't going to bring that up. You did. A good team always keeps everybody abreast of what's going on with the team.
And the teammates shouldn't get so upset.
See, now you're getting personal.
Shouldn't get so upset if the other team happened to go out without them.
You're right. But you might want to take your own advice right there. Yeah. See, you started this.
Okay, I'm pot, you're kettle.
I'm not black. So you can't finish that statement.
So you have to. They have to know their positions. You have to recognize temporary people and long-term people.
Okay, can I go here for a second?
Hey, man, I was waiting for you to go there.
Okay, so... You can close this out. No, I'm going to say this real quick, and I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I'm going to say it, and I hope and pray our executive producers don't turn me off when I say this.
They turned me off last time.
No, that's because you just went totally sideways. But this is my last statement of the day with this podcast. A good leader understands that they have responsibilities to their team first. David, and I'll use this example. David is available for all bookings now. You can book him for revivals, conferences, workshops, everything.
Preach underscore David, Instagram, D. Andrews on Facebook.
But the issue is, David's not promoting himself to the intent to be bigger than where he is now. He understands that there's a process that has to take place. He understands that before he can be this great, you know, evangelist or whatever the case is, or motivational speaker or whatever.
Chief administrative apostle.
Yeah. David understands that he's got to take care of the home front first. Mm-hmm. A good leader, a good team understands that you have to take care of home first.
Right.
Then you go out. When home is taken care of, then you can go and converse with the other team. Then you can go out and do what you got to do. But until then, you have to make sure that you are right where you are.
Prime example, Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns. All these endorsement commercials and all this stuff. My issue with this is you ain't won nothing. Your team is falling apart. How about you take back some of the commercials, sit down, study that playbook, and get the team where it needs to be before you start doing all this outside endorsements and all this stuff. That's just that. You look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady ain't do a commercial for years until the Patriots have become a dynasty. Mm. Because he had a team mindset first. He wasn't trying to be out there for himself because he knew he was part of a team. And when the team had won the 6th Super Bowl, that's when he started doing commercials on this stuff. He said, the team is fine. They can function without me. Now I can go off and do my own thing. But still, the team is functioning in my absence. And I often say this. Let's get back to church. The success of your ministry, executive pastors, assistant pastors, senior pastors, bishops, overseers, and all that stuff, it's not determined how it operates when you're there, but how it operates in your absence.
And I'd agree with that. And it's funny you went there because I was actually going to go there also. It is, I am...
Business people. Like we keep saying church, but let's just, this is all aspects.
I am somewhat in David's perspective of description of me. I am itinerant.
Yes, he is.
I am...
in demand.
No.
He's in demand. He ain't got to put a flyer saying better for bookers.
Shut up. I am slightly, you know,
that just annoys me.
Sought after. And I have two locations at my home church. So, you know, we've got a Newport News location and a Smithfield location in Virginia. So the crazy thing is I am able to leave them and not worry about how service is going to be. Now, of course, I want to know how service is, just, you know, for excitement purposes or things I might need to work on to improve or whatever the case is. But I look at it like this. I've got, we're in our church anniversary next month, and I won't be there quite a few Sunday mornings due to my schedule opening up and me being gone. But I don't worry about how effective the team will be because I've set the team up to the place where I can leave and the church will still be standing.
Because you've put people in place that you trust. They have your heart. They know the direction. They know the vision. And they know, more importantly, what not to do in your absence.
And believe it or not, when I was training them, I started off with the what not to do versus what to do, you know, and there are ones there that if they see what not to do happening, they'll shut it down.
I heard a pastor say one time, I love him. A pastor said one time when he had a meeting, he made a correlation to Jesus when he chose the 12 disciples. Jesus knew Judas was among him.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts off his meeting. Every time he reestablishes team, he starts his meeting off with one of you will betray me.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that people in that room, everybody's not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands that somebody ain't gonna make the cut. Somebody gonna do something crazy. Somebody gonna treat me wrong. And he understands that. And so when establishing your team, understand somebody gonna betray you. Somebody gonna mess up.
Every team has a Judas and a Peter.
Uh-huh. I'm Peter.
The other day when you were disguised on, you were Judas. But anyway, so you and your spouse.
I honestly bring my wife up here.
I'm just saying. Don't you bring my as wife much up. As I love her, don't you bring my I'm wife trying to tell you, she drove. My wife is you a couldn't
saint.
Drive.
My wife is a saint.
depends on what day of the week it is. But nevertheless,
at least my wife get out of bed in the morning.
Mine do too. It just be 11:59. And if you can see what my wife just did, bless the Lord.
My soul.
When you're in the wilderness, make sure
you have the right team,
that you have the right team. We've laughed and joked and we've literally
and rambled on.
This has been the funniest podcast. However,
and rambled on.
It was. I told you stop saying that because I keep going with that statement.
Maximize your team.
You don't want to be caught out in the wilderness
with the wrong team. You mess around and wander around for 40 years. For no reason. Wonder why you ain't got to the promised land. It might be because you got the wrong people.
Maybe God ain't letting you get to the promised land because he know you got them nuts with you.
And God ain't trying to take them with you.
Exactly.
That dead weight just walking around.
They were last season's blessings.
Just complaining.
You need some new season blessings. Get you some new Lyra salt and get rid of that bottle that's been on your shelf for 3 years. Your grandma gave you that bottle of Lyra's.
You don't get food poisoning. Don't season
the bless the Lord. This is David and don't Mario signing off tonight. Maximize. I don't know. I ain't never know. Grandma don't pay no attention to max. You know, no expiration date. She just put a little bit on her hand and sprinkle it. And if it works, it works. And then she poured a whole bottle.
I asked my wife a question the other day. You know, when it snowed, there was some ice on the thing. I said, if I put down garlic salt, will it melt the ice and keep the mosquitoes away? Because, you know, mosquitoes suck blood. May the Lord watch.
Between you and me.
While we absent.
One from another.
What's the rest of it?
I don't know. But all I know is, had the right team. Because this team for Maximize the Wilderness podcast is very interesting. But God bless you. We love you. And may heaven smile upon you. In Jesus' name.
Preach_David at Instagram.
He's available for bookings.
I'm available for bookings, y'all.
Conferences, workshops, prophetic conferences, that, whatever that, you need.
I'm lowly.
Call David.
I got to make sure my church is straight.
David E. Andrews. It's D.E. Andrews on Facebook. Look him up. Call him.
#PreachDavid.
Amen. Hallelujah.